Greetings, radio friends. Once again, we have the blessed privilege of coming your way in the name of Jesus Christ by the means of the Holy Gospel through radio, and we hope and trust the thoughts today will be a blessing to us as we study God's Word together. This program is sponsored by the Church of God of Resurrection Hope, a Church of God of Abrahamic Faith. We're located on the Walt Arney Road in the Whitnell section of Lenoir, North Carolina. If you're not here at any time, you have a cordial invitation to worship with us. Our Sunday school is 9:30, morning worship service 10:30, evening message at 7 o'clock each Sunday evening. Today we will be bringing the thoughts from the Bible in regards to the word hell. There are four words from the Hebrew and Greek which are translated hell in the English language. There is only one Hebrew word that is translated hell. It is Sheol. It is translated hell 31 times and grave 31 times and pit 3 times. Today we will deal with this word. First, let us point out that the equivalent in the Greek for the Hebrew word Sheol is Hades. How can we know this for sure? Well, let's consider. In Psalm 16 and 10, we have the great King David speaking in prophecy concerning Christ's death. And he said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." In Acts 2:27, Peter is quoting this same scripture on the day of Pentecost and said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades." As the Greek, he was quoting from Psalm 16 in the Hebrew quotation, and in it was Sheol in the Greek and Hades, or Sheol in the Hebrew and Hades in the Greek. Now we can therefore see and know and understand that the two have the same meaning. It is the unseen state of man in death. Now the question arises, why did the translators not translate Sheol, hell, every time? Why did they translate it grave 31 times and hell 31 times and pit 3 times? Why did they just not translate it the same all the time? The reason of the so translation was the fact that they were influenced by the teachings of their times, and they translated either hell, grave, or pit as the sentence they were working with stood for or against what they had been taught to believe. Now let's give some of the times the word Sheol is translated hell. 2 Samuel 22:6. "The sorrows of hell," the margin says, "the pangs of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God." This is David's testimony while he's living here on the earth, and he declares that the pangs of hell compassed him about. This would not make sense at all if the pangs of hell are conscious suffering in flames of fire. David certainly did not have that kind of pangs. Job made a statement in Job 26:6, speaking of God. He said, "Hell is naked before him." God can see everything in Sheol. He knows everything. Psalm 9:17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God." It is no doubt that these shall be turned into hell, but what is the hell he is speaking of? What kind of place is it? Is it a place of knowledge, of consciousness, of suffering, of dying, and yet living on forever? Is it a place of flames and burning with the devil in charge? "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell," was said by Peter at Pentecost to be speaking of Christ, whose soul in death was in hell, but that God raised him from the dead and thereby did not leave his soul in hell. Psalm 55:15. "Let death seize upon them, let them go down quickly into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings." Note that before they go down into hell, death must seize upon them. Psalm 86:13. "Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." Margin says grave. Still, it is the same word, Sheol. For one's soul to be delivered from hell is for God to spare one's life and deliver him from dying. Only those who are dead are in this place called Sheol. David in Psalm 116:3 said, "The pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow." That was before David ever died. Now, if the pains of hell is burning in a fiery flame, and these pains got hold on David, he would burn like those who were in hell, if so be that the pains of hell were upon him. David said of God in Psalms 138:9, "If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." David said God would be there even if he made his bed there. He is wanting to know, where can I go to get away from the Spirit and from the presence of God? Why, even in hell, he says that God is there. Can you find one verse of Scripture, according to popular theology, that the devil is in hell? Proverbs 5:5, speaking of immoral women, And he says here that her steps take hold on hell. But to make such a statement does not describe hell. Again, in Proverbs 7:27, we find concerning the harlot's house that her house is the way to hell, going down into the chambers of death. This hell, then, does go down to the chambers of death. Again, in Proverbs 9:18, he speaks about the harlot and her house and the way that leads to hell. He says, "But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." We can determine at once that the dead are there. Again, in Proverbs 15:11, we find that hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the heart of the children of men? Is it not all a fact that all things are open and naked with him and with whom we have to do? Speaking of chastening a child in Proverbs 23:14, he says, "Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell." In Isaiah 14:9, speaking of Lucifer, says, "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee. You have said, I will ascend into the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit." In Isaiah 28:15, we have a people who think they have made a covenant with death and with hell. They have made an agreement, and when the overflowing skirt shall pass through, they will be exempt from it because they have made lies their refuge. But God said in verse 18, "Your covenant with death shall not be disannulled. Your agreement with hell shall not stand." Because of this false covenant, many think they will die and miss the Bible hell. But God said, "For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it will take every one that dieth." God said in Amos 9:2, "Though they dig into hell, hence will my hand take them, and though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down." Just how could one dig into hell, which is the conventional hell as taught by the theology of man, which men have an agreement with that they will not ever go there? We find that the times that's translated the word Sheol as hell, there was not much change of tying it down to the conditions there, nor exactly what it is and where it is, but this same word Sheol was translated grave 31 times, and when they came to that word and realized it taught just the opposite of what they believed, they translated it grave instead of hell. Now let's give some examples. Genesis 37:35, speaking of his son Joseph, whom he thought had been killed by a wild animal, Jacob refused to be comforted, and he said, "I will go down into Sheol unto my son mourning." Jacob knew his son was in Sheol. He expected to go down into Sheol himself, personally, to his son. Genesis 42:38, he said, "Bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to Sheol." Gray hairs are material, but we are taught that all that goes down to Sheol when one dies is something that's immaterial. And popular theology declares there's no material in Sheol, just immaterial. Again in Genesis 44:29 and 44:31, it mentions how that gray hair is brought down into Sheol. In 1 Kings 2:6, we find that gray head goes down to Sheol. In 1 Kings 2:9, we find that it goes down with blood to Sheol. Gray hairs and blood are both material. They go into Sheol. Psalms 48th verse of the 89th chapter. "What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave?" There is no man living who can deliver his soul from the power of the grave, or Sheol, hell. When he dies, he will end up in Sheol, his head, his blood, his whole being. One of the greatest verses that teaches us about Sheol is Ecclesiastes 9:10. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in Sheol, whither thou goest." Strange indeed that Sheol is a place where there's no work, no thoughts, no knowledge, and no wisdom. A place in the dust, a place of darkness, where the wicked are silent. How much plainer can God make it to us? And yet we follow the conventional and traditional theology and have hell a place where the wicked are screaming, burning, frying, where the light of the fire keeps a place bright at all times, where there is work and thoughts and knowledge and wisdom. And yet the scriptures positively declare that instead of all of this, there is no work, no knowledge, no thought, no wisdom. As David said in Psalms 146:4, "Man, when he dies, his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish." Not only this is truth, but God has promised to destroy Sheol in Hosea 13 and 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave, which is coming from the word Sheol. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues, O Sheol. I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. God has promised that one day he'll destroy Sheol, Hades. And in Revelation 20:14, we find that death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is Sheol from the Hebrew, one and the same as Hades in the Greek. God is going to destroy both death and hell, Hades, in the lake of fire. Death and Hades will give up the dead that are in them. They will be judged according to their works. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. In Isaiah 38, we find King Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet came unto him and told him, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now let me tell you, friend, how could anyone die and not live if he lived on? That's something to think about. That's what God told him, thou shalt die and not live. Now, if he dies and doesn't live, he just won't be alive. If anything about him lives on, then he could not die and not live, for he would be living somehow. But God said, thou shalt die and not live. What did Hezekiah say about this? In the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the rest of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more. Sheol, then, is a state where you cannot see the Lord, nor behold man with the inhabitants of the earth no more. It is a place where men who have died do not live. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 15:55, we find this quotation, O death, where is thy sting? O Hades, where is thy victory? Friends, if death ever holds one person in his clutches, and if Hades or Sheol ever holds any soul forever, it would have to be a victory for death and for hell. But death and hell are to be destroyed, done away with. They shall be destroyed in the lake of fire and brimstone. In looking at the word hell from Sheol and Hades, there's no fire in them and will never be. There is a different word translated hell which has fire in it, but it will not come until after the judgment. The place is a place of darkness, of wickedness today. The hell that we're talking about is. And it's still there, and the people are quiet there, a place of no work, no wisdom, no thought, no knowledge. And it's a place where there is not even a remembrance of God. It is a state where men remain in the sleep of death until the resurrection and judgment. We hope these thoughts have been a blessing to you today. We invite you to join us in prayer. Father, take these thoughts today. Give us wisdom and understanding. May we comprehend the glorious truth of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.